Hello, everybody. Welcome. I hope you're all having a really wonderful day so far. It's so good to be with all of you. As we move into the final kind of, I look at it as kind of like the final section of the Sacred Depths training. So the first section, there's probably a better word than section. But anyway, the first part of the program is really about those basic foundational coaching skills that even if you have been coaching forever, you know, we looked at them in new ways, in more advanced ways, in more masterful ways. The listening, the energetics, the questioning, the creating awareness, the visioning, the strategizing, all of that. And then from there, we moved on to, and by the way, most coaching trainings just end there. They just have the foundational pieces, and not in those advanced ways that we looked. But then from there, we moved on to part two of Sacred Depths, which we hung out in for a while, for quite a couple of months. And part two was all about, as you guys know, the ways that our clients can get stuck and sabotage and the obstacles that they come up against. And all of the training calls in part two, all of those sub-modules were about giving you different techniques and tools so that you have lots of different ways and pathways to work with clients when they get stuck. Shadow, for those of you that have been, were in level two. Resistance archetypes, fear, negative thoughts, you know, rewiring negative thoughts, all of those, self-sabotage, wheel of self-sabotage, all of that. Now we're moving into the third part of Sacred Depths, which are the best way that I can describe it. You know, in the curriculum, we call it advanced topics and techniques, and they are advanced topics and techniques. Nobody, you're not going to get what we're about to go into in any coach training at all. Like the best way, even better than advanced topics, the best way that I can describe what we're going to be doing from now until the end of the training over the next five-ish weeks is really like the icing on the cake. The topics that we're going to be looking at starting today are less about specific techniques and skills and more about filling in some holes with pieces of wisdom around human behavior, so that you have the fullest understanding or the fullest scope that you can have no matter what clients bring up for you. And today's topic in particular is one of my favorites, but I feel like I say it every call. They're all my favorites. I really love today's topic. It's such an important one, and it's one that has been for me in my personal life as well as in my coaching and the ways that I support clients, one of the most powerful and vital pieces. It's one that gets overlooked in almost all arenas, but it's one that is so important and so vital. And so today we're looking at the topic of being in the mystery and letting go. Now, in coaching, we speak so much about creating new work, creating better relationships, creating new health patterns, creating abundance, right? Coaching oftentimes is really focused on what we're creating next. But that's really only half of the picture. We rarely, or most coaches, if you're a sacred depths coach, you are going to talk about this. Most other coaches don't talk about destroying. Destroying is half of the equation. It's just as important as creating. We can't create unless we also have the ability to destroy. We speak so often about more, having more, the importance of more. More is great. But we need, as coaches and as healers and as teachers and as practitioners, we need to also honor and know when to bring less into the conversation. So we need to support our clients with more and creating more, but we need to also support our clients in honoring less. Because the truth is that life, real life, right, not just like the sparkly Instagram or Facebook social media life, which is just always about more, 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 creating, 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 you know, abundance, abundance, abundance. The truth is that real life, and our clients are bringing real life to us. They may have bought in to that fake life, right, that we see out there, and part of our jobs is to help them come to terms with real life. That's how they're going to be so much happier, right? The truth is that real life is about both. It's about creating and destroying. It's about manifesting and letting go. It's about more and having more, but it's also about less sometimes. It's about clarity, getting clarification, being clear. But then it's also about fogginess sometimes too. Our clients are going to encounter all of this. And if we only focus on the light, if we only focus on the more, if we only place importance on creation, we're not going to be able to really support our clients fully. We're not going to be able to hold the space for them that they need. Right? And it's because clients, all human beings, encounter both parts, all of these experiences, all of these choices. You hear just some examples. There are going to be moments where clients come up with important questions around leaving marriages or partners, leaving homes, leaving jobs, letting go of clients or programs, resting. And probably, hopefully, as you're tuning in to this right now as I'm talking, you've had personal experience with this as well. The importance of letting go and the power of letting go. And I'll just share with you a short example, a somewhat recent example from my own life. Maybe you can find yourself in this or your clients in this in one way or another, even if the circumstances are different. But I'll share a couple of examples, actually, because I think it will be helpful. So first of all, you know, I had a big moment of being in the mystery and letting go last year, at the end of last year. I had been leading a particular group of inner circle, I call them inner circle clients, women that had been working with me but also in circle with each other through my programming for 8 years. And every year, these women, you know, kept on re-signing. And some would come and some would leave, but there was a strong core of women. and we were on our eighth, I think it was actually our seventh year last year. And I, halfway through the year, everything was going well and beautifully, and growth as always. And I love these women so dearly. And not only did I love each of these women individually, I'd worked with them, you know, so closely for so many years, but I also loved these women as a circle and how they work together. And everything was going so well, but I knew halfway through the cycle last year that we needed a break. A piece of it was about, I could just feel it energetically that we had been going on and on and on, and 7 years is a long time. Some of them I've been working with longer. And I knew in my heart that for some of them it would be aligned for them to continue working with me privately. But I just had this feeling in my heart that in terms of the circle, it needed a rest, like a sabbatical, or longer than a sabbatical. And around December, you know, the program had always started in September, went through August, and somewhere around December, January, I couldn't ignore it anymore. I had wanted to ignore it because of how wonderful the circle was and how much I love these women and how much they love each other and the great things that we had going on. But I knew that it would not be good for their growth to continue another year, or at least another year without a break. They needed at least a break. And I also knew that my business growth, there was something I needed to let go of it for my business growth as well. It had a little bit to do with my time and my energy, the amount of time and energy I was putting into this circle. But even more than that, it had to do with like that energetically holding on to them in a way. And I knew that they were going to keep on coming to me so long as I offered it to them, but there was a little bit of a gripping that was happening for me, and it was closing off other opportunities, right? And I was gripping on a little bit out of fear. And so even though it was such a hard decision, I had to let them know, you know, that we were going to take a break, and we all mourned it. Like, we all grieved over this loss and this ending. And there was a part of me that was like, Joanna, you're crazy. Like, you're earning so much income from this circle. They're receiving so much. Like, what are you doing here, right? But what's going to happen next? You know, will I be able to continue to work with some of these women when the time is right, you know, and all of that? So it was a real moment of having to trust the mystery. It was a real moment of less is more. It was a moment of the importance of destroying, right? And for as hard as it was absolutely the right decision. Some of those women continued with me privately. Some of them didn't. But I can see now, a year later, that it was so aligned. But an older version of me of 10 years ago, let's say, wouldn't have been able to let go. It would be too scary. I wouldn't be willing to risk the income. I would be too scared to disappoint the women in the circle. You know, all of the reasons, right? So that's one example of why working in this way and really thinking as a coach and as a practitioner about being in the mystery and letting go is important. When I left I'll give you just one other example for me personally. When I left the New York, New Jersey area 7 years ago, so I had lived in New York and New Jersey my whole entire life. My parents were there. My sister was there. My business was mostly at that point. I had, you know, I was online for sure, but probably 60% of my people were in the tri-state area at that point. My whole life, I had always said, I'm never leaving the tri-state area because my mother is ill and I am a devoted daughter and I'm never going to leave her. Even when I got married with John, I was like, we have to go to a couples counselor before we get married. This is when we were engaged, so that you understand I'm never leaving this area. Like, it, being married to me means staying in this area. Our whole, my whole life and existence was there. My sense of responsibility was there. And when this opportunity came up in North Carolina, it was truly one of the hardest decisions I've ever had to make my whole entire life. Because it meant not only leaving my life there, but it meant, you know, shifting some of my responsibilities with my mother. And it required of me the ability to let go and to step into the mystery. We're going to talk a lot more about the mystery in a little bit, but to step into the mystery. So as coaches, we really need to understand what all of this is about. And when I say this, I mean letting go, making hard decisions, grieving, less is more, and loss. We need to understand the human behavior around all of this. And we also need to understand the nature, like I said earlier, the nature of mystery. If we don't pay attention to this, if we don't honor all of this, if we don't understand all of this, and if we don't actively bring this into coaching conversations, because I promise you most coaches are not going to bring it in themselves, because that's our culture has been trained to not honor everything that I'm talking about right now. If we don't do all of this, then we become, I'm using air quotes now, push coaches. We don't want to be push. Sacred Depths coaches are not push coaches. Coaches that are always pushing and prodding clients forward instead of finding the aligned, organic pace they're meant to step into. If we are push coaches, then we also bypass the feelings that our clients need to feel, the synchronicities, the natural rhythms, and then the potential opportunities that are embedded in the mystery and that only show up when we have the courage to let go. I hope all of this is starting to make sense. So, you know, without getting on my soapbox, for well, you guys know I get on my soapbox a lot, I really feel like this is a problem with a lot of coaching these days. It's all push, 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 go, go, go. And so today's call is about, of course, you know, we always, like, want to motivate our clients and inspire them and invite them to their highest selves, but we don't want to be those push coaches. That's what we're looking at today. Today's call, just as we get deeper into it, and this is very, I guess, mirroring the nature of the mystery. You know, usually with my Virgo self, I'm very linear. This call is a little more circular than linear. It's because it's hard to talk about letting go and the mystery in a linear way. So this is going to be cyclical a little bit and comprehensive, but like a little all over the place. But you'll get it, and I think you'll appreciate how we go with it today. And I really see today's call as coach training for spiritual teachers. Right? Like, if you're in Sacred Depths, there is a part of you that's a spiritual teacher. And as spiritual teachers, we need to look at this. Of course, we could spend like a whole year just on this topic. We're going to do it just for today. It'll be a toe dip, but I think it'll be really helpful. So speaking of cycles and this call being cyclical, you guys have heard from me before. how important the cycles are and how important it is to honor the cycles. I teach a whole system in the Into the Depths facilitator training on the cycles, and it's called Sacred Rhythms. I developed it along with another woman, Dawn Copeland, and I won't get into all of the details of it right now, but I just want to share that for me, learning how to live my life in accordance with the rhythms of the cycles of the earth and the moon and just the natural cycles of life, it's been a game changer for me. And the way I look at the cycles is that every cycle has four parts to it. So we can understand those four, you know, we just have to look to nature to understand the four parts. And, you know, real quick, those four parts are kind of, we can correspond them to spring, summer, autumn, and winter. Spring is all about planting, starting something new, new beginnings, creating. Summer is all about those new things that we've planted, like really bringing them into being, you know, watering them and the persistence and the consistent to make flowers grow, to make fruit grow, to make our projects grow, whether those projects are about work or health or relationships or money, you know, whatever it is. And the next phase after summer is autumn. Autumn is all about the harvest. It's about enjoying the fruits of your labor. And then the cycle after that is winter, which is all about letting go and releasing and moving into rest and moving into silence and actually honoring scarcity, which I know sounds so weird because in the spiritual transformational industry, we're always honoring abundance, which is amazing, of course, but there's actually a times in our lives to honor scarcity too. So importance in coaching, or I say focus in coaching, is usually on spring and summer. You guys have heard me say this in different ways before, right? We're all about the planting and the growing and the planting and the growing and the planting and the growing. And very little importance is actually placed on the harvesting and especially the winter, the releasing, the grief, the destruction, the rest, the silence, the scarcity. A big percentage of Sacred Depths coaching and of the work that I often do with clients is healing from being misaligned with the rhythms. In other words, healing ourselves from thinking that there's only spring and summer and for not giving a place and an honor in our lives to autumn and winter. We get really messed up from it. Our clients get really messed up from it. So what is a winter phase? You guys have heard me speak about this a little bit before. It's a sabbatical, for example, right? Maybe it's about taking a sabbatical from work. That sabbatical might just be 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, or it might be a year. You might need to be in that winter for a year. Winter phase might be, for example, releasing a marriage or a partnership or letting a particular program in your business die, client, letting a client go, letting anything die, right? Winter phase might be about, similar to the sabbatical, taking a long rest and also not knowing. I mean, it speak more on that in a little bit, but, you know, spring and summer, there's more sunlight. Things are clear. We tend to like clarity, knowing where we're going. There's a lot to be said about not knowing where we're going at certain moments. So winter is a lot about letting go in one way or another. So why is it important to let go? And why is it important to support ourselves, but also our clients? Why is it important to support our clients to consciously step into a winter phase when it's right for them, when it's the right moment for them to do it, right? And winter doesn't have to, when we help our clients step into a winter phase, it doesn't have to correspond with when winter actually happens, the season of winter happens, right? This can happen at any moment. So why is this important? Because when someone is actually ready for a winter phase, but they don't take it, they just keep on going spring, summer, just summer, spring, you know, spring, just creating new things, right, without following through. They're in misalignment, right? And, you know, I don't have to say too much about why we don't want our clients to be in misalignment, right? When we're misaligned, things don't flow. When we can actually honor the cycles and move through these phases that I described in their right time and not fight against them, we're much more aligned. We're much more in the flow. We're not fighting against it. And so things happen more easily. Why else is it important to consciously step into a winter phase or support a client who's ready to? Because when we do too much, usually a client needs to step into a winter phase when they're doing too much, right? And when we do too much, we get sick. We get exhausted. We stop doing things well. It's important to support clients to step into winter phases so that they can have space. So, yes, we need space in order to feel rested and in order to feel physically healthy and, you know, all of those things, 100%. But we also need space in order to stay spiritually healthy and spiritually connected. So you may have experienced this before. I certainly have. This is something that is a big thing in my life that I work on a lot. You know, I can have like things are going really well and they're going really well in business and there's a lot of activity and it's all good and my energy is there. You know, I'm feeling great and I'm doing all the things. But if I do all the things and I keep things too busy for too long, I lose connection with myself, and I lose connection with my spiritual life. And even though things are going really well, because they're so busy and I haven't given myself that space, things then start to feel less meaningful to me. Things start to feel more empty to me. So never underestimate the need for space. Sometimes it's important to support a client to consciously step into a winter phase because they need to heal from illness or from trauma or from a life change. So often, or sometimes I have clients who they've just experienced a big either illness or trauma or life change. You know, for example, someone in their family passes or they've just given birth, right? And sometimes the client just wants to keep on going, you know, like when we're planning for their maternity leave, they only want to take like a 3-week or a 4-week maternity leave, right? Or someone important has just passed and it's 2 weeks later and they're like, okay, let's go. And sometimes that might be aligned. You know, I don't want to say it's never aligned, but because I'm so attuned to the importance of the cycle and the importance of the winter phase, I'm always going to help support my client to make sure that they're taking enough space, right, so that they can really experience whatever they're meant to experience in the life change, or feel whatever they're meant to feel through all of it, and so that they're not rushing into things. Sometimes we need, or it's important to help a client consciously step into a winter phase so that they don't settle for something instead of receiving what they ideally want. In other words, sometimes things need patience, and sometimes we actually need to give things a rest and a pause and a stop so that we can get what we actually desire as opposed to settling for something. And then I already kind of mentioned this one. You know, sometimes there's, again, like just a need to grieve. We tend to bypass grieving in our culture. Just at the beginning of this month in the Into the Depths facilitator training, we spent a whole half a day doing just beautiful, deep ceremony around grieving because culturally we don't give ourselves enough space for grieving. And when we don't give ourselves the space to grieve, it's like a toxin that builds up in us, and we carry this burden around with us. Okay, so those are all the reasons why it's important. Now let's talk about why it's so hard to let go or to step into a winter phase, and why individuals often need coaches' support to be able to do it. Well, number one, you know, as I keep on saying, just because culturally we don't honor it, we're such love and lighters, which is great, but there's no honoring of the other side of things, right? And that speaks to fears that we have about letting go or stepping into winter phases. And some of those fears that really get in our way of letting go, stepping into the winter phases, are number one, fear of missing out, right? So we keep on going, we keep on doing more. We don't let ourselves either let go of something or take a pause or a break because of the fear of missing out. Related to that one is the fear of scarcity. The fear of, if I let this go or if I take this rest, not only will I miss out, but I'm not going to have the security of it. You know, whether it provides security of finances or friendship or love, you know, whatever it is, right? And I won't have any other opportunities. Sometimes it's hard to step into letting go or into a winter phase because of fear of change. We're averse to change, which is related to fear of the mystery, fear of the unknown. We've become so obsessed in a way, and I'm guilty of this too. Like I said, I have to work on this all the time. But, you know, we've become so obsessed with knowing and having full clarity all the time, that we've forgotten that there are seasons for knowing and being clear, and there are seasons where we're meant to not know, where we're meant to be in the mystery, where the truth or the decision hasn't yet been revealed to us, and we need to learn how to become more comfortable with that. Because remember, when do people dream? Not during the day, when there's full light and full clarity. We dream at night. We dream our next visions, our next futures, when we can't see. Because there are no boundaries then. We can cook up our bigger visions then. Another reason why it can be really hard for a client to let go or to step into a winter phase is because of the fear of open space and time. So, of course, I think it's a value for so many of us to have spaciousness and to have open time. And yet, at the same time, so many of us are so resistant to it. We're scared of it, right? Because when we have open space and time, number one, what emotions are going to come up, right? Or what are we going to see that we haven't seen before? Or how will we define ourselves if we're not doing? How will we value ourselves if we're not doing? So there's a desire for spaciousness, but there's also a lot of fear and resistance around it. And it's also related to the fear of grief, right? If we haven't allowed ourselves to grieve over loss, and by the way, we don't just grieve over loss because someone has died, right? We grieve over loss of relationship, over a disappointment that something didn't pan out the way it was meant to, cultural, you know, climate change, right? Like whatever it is. But stepping into a winter phase means that we're going to come face to face with our grief because we have the time and space to do so instead of using our busyness to avoid it. And that can be really scary. And so that's another reason why people avoid it. They're scared they're going to get into like a vortex of grief that they can't get out of. Sometimes it's hard to let go or step into a winter phase because of the fear of letting others down. That was for sure for me in my example of last year with the inner circle group. I didn't want to let them down, but I knew that it was best for me and it was ultimately going to be best for them. And then, not to get too philosophical here, but the other reason why it can sometimes be hard to let go or step into a winter phase is because of the fear of death. Not that we think that we're literally going to die if we do it, but because winter, it does, letting go, destroying, winter, all of that, it does symbolize death. And we have such a fear of death in our society. Death is the ultimate mystery, right? And so there can sometimes be stuff there. Okay, I know I'm sharing a lot, and I'm going a little quickly here, and each of these pieces is so profound. So let's take a pause for a moment. In a little bit, we're going to do some inner work on it, but let's pause here for a moment, and I'd love to hear from a few of you. What are you hearing so far that's important to you? What's really striking you here? What are you starting to see? Start to. Jamie.
Hi, Joanna and everybody. I just wanted to add one sentence that I think that stepping into the winter, the hiatus, et cetera, is really in our culture associated with a fear of failure.
Yeah.
Straight off. Failure. Mm-hmm. That's the word, that I think comes up because we think we're always supposed to be growing, learning, everything's supposed to be on upswing. That's our whole culture is based on that. But the word failure seems to be a strong one.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you're bringing that in, 100%. And that's another piece of that creating awareness work that we need to do with our clients, right? Because if it is aligned for them to step in and that fear of failure is in the way, we need to help create awareness that it's not a failure at all.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for bringing that
in. It's a place where our culture is way offline, out of alignment. Okay,
yeah.
That's all. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you. Good. Justine.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey. So I guess what came up for me is a question about, your perspective on, let's say we're actually in summer, right now, but personally we're in winter, right? Like, mm-hmm. or we're in a different mm-hmm. season than is actually happening out in the world.
Yeah.
So how do we, I guess, what's your perspective on that in terms of, like, even with ourselves or in working with clients, navigating that?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's so much. Thank you for the question.
Yeah.
And it's such a big question. I'm not going to tackle the whole thing. At some point, you'll come to Into the Depths because we really, we look at all of the cycles in that way. But what I will say for now is absolutely, it can be summer, but we can personally be in a winter phase. Or also, we might be in a summer phase. Like, you're writing your book right now, you might be in summer in that area of your life, but you may need to take a winter in another area of your life, at the same time, right? So it's not even, sometimes it's fully pervasive winter, and then other times it's different things are even happening in terms of different areas. And, in terms of navigating it, I think what's important first and foremost is to be able to honor it, right? Which is, I know I've said that so many times already on this call, but I keep on wanting to drive that home because of society and how we've been trained, we just naturally go to the not honoring it. I even do that. I have to catch myself in it, right? So if it's summer now and you're in a winter phase, first and foremost, honor it. It's legitimate. It's valid. It's important. It's needed. It's necessary. And love yourself, or if it's your client, love yourself or your client up in it 100%. Don't make it wrong. And don't make it mean, like Jamie brought up, that it's going to be failure, or that you're going to have scarcity forever. Whatever the meanings that we make of it. Let me stop there because I just said a lot. Do you have any? I'm sure you have follow up questions in there, but is there any more that you need in there right now?
No, thank you. That's good for now.
Okay. Okay, great. And we'll also talk more. We'll go into other ways too as we move through this call. Okay, I'll take one or two more shares, Sophia.
Oh, hi, Joanna. I love how you talk about winter because, I think in most of the personal development industry, they see it as kind of like a setback. And I actually went through this in the past 6 months, and I kind of actually, the interesting thing is that it really helped me to take some time off from my goals because mm-hmm. It helped me clarify that I was working on the right goals in the first place. And, I really, really love that you're taking the time to honor the winter because I did feel really, really, I felt like there's a lot of things wrong with me for going through that. I thought that I had failed, but it wasn't really the case.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's so important, and I love the point that you're bringing up, is that sometimes we need to take that winter in order to know that what we've chosen is actually the right path. So that's such a great point. Okay, good. I know there are other hands raised. We still have a lot of work to do on the call. We're going to do some inner work, and then I'm going to give you some techniques for helping clients with all of this wisdom, and we'll have time for more shares as well. But let's continue just for now, and I want to do a little bit of journaling. So so you can see, you know, just get into this a little bit deeper for yourself. So first question, I'll give you about a minute with it. So what is your relationship with letting things go? What's your relationship with letting things go? Is it something that you're just good at? Something is no longer aligned and you let it go? Or are you a gripper? Do you grip on to things? Maybe different areas of your life, it's different, right? What's your relationship with letting things go? Next question, what's your relationship with winter? Not with the season of winter, like if you're somewhere where it's cold and you have to wear coats all the time, but in the way that I've described it, you know, the rest, the pause, the being willing to be in the mystery. What's your relationship with winter? Surrender is a piece of it, right? Surrendering, scarcity. What's your relationship with winter? Are you easeful when it comes to being in the mystery, embracing the mystery, not knowing everything? Or does it just drive you nuts? Do you get judgmental and anxious if you don't know, for example? Are you good with having less, right? Just like the trees do in the wintertime. There are not as many leaves or fruits on the trees, right? They learn what they need to do. In a winter phase, it's almost like a bare bones time where you learn how to survive with less. And actually, you need less. If you're holding on to so much, you're not going to make it through the winter because it takes too much energy to hold all those things. I know I'm giving lots of, like I said, this is not linear. All over the place here. I'm giving you a lot to think about. Just what's your relationship with all of that? Next question, what's one thing in your life right now that you know is ready to die, that you know it's time to let go of it, but you've been clinging on? It might be in your work, it might be a team member, it might be a client, it might be a certain rate for your programming, a program that you have, a message. It might be in your personal life, pattern, an object. What's something that you know is ready to die, but you've been clinging on to it? It may be a habit also, or maybe a way that you relate to if you have a child. Sometimes we can cling on with our children. And whatever that thing is, why have you been clinging on even though it's ready to go? In other words, why are you scared of letting it go? Why are you scared of letting it go? I always think of the moment of letting go as that transitional moment between the autumn and the winter, right? So, like, all of autumn is, you know, there's this an abundance of autumn. You're harvesting. The trees have these leaves with beautiful, they're turning just such beautiful colors, right? But there's this moment when the tree knows that even though the leaf is so beautiful, it's turned the most beautiful color, it's time to let it go. And then that's what allows it to move into the rest of winter, the rest meaning to be able to rest in winter. So based on everything that you've looked at for yourself so far, last question, what would you need to believe in order to let this thing go? What would you need to believe in order to let this thing go, whatever the thing is you've been clinging on to? You know, and back to the tree, I always like to make up stories in my mind, but I always like to think that the reason why the trees are willing to let the leaves go is because they know that spring is going to come after winter, and they know that the only way spring can come is if they let it go. Have you ever noticed leaves that the tree has maybe been clinging on to a little too long? It goes from that the beautiful colors into, like, it starts rotting on the tree, right? So what would you need to believe in order to let this thing go? All right, let's pause here for a moment. I'd love to hear from a couple of you. What are you seeing? What's coming through for you so far? Star two. Carolyn.
Hey, can you hear me?
I can, yeah.
I actually had my hand raised for the
question. Yeah.
But quickly, I will say that the timing of this is so spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that I know I need to let go is my not IRL meeting with people.
Yeah.
I have to do events and be in person and speaking and screw writing and content and things like that.
Yeah,
so,
why have you been clinging on?
Because I wanted to be right. I thought I needed to be a thought leader in that way. And
yeah.
It's just like, yeah, it's not fun. It's not light.
Mm-hmm.
And so I need to go back to what's fun and light.
Yeah. So tell me, what did you come up with, like what you need to believe in order to just stop clinging on?
That I was wrong. that my strategies aren't always for myself, aren't always right. And, you know, that it was worth experimenting.
Uh-huh.
And now it's time to let her slide.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that there's the honoring in there, right? Like, it was worth experimenting. You know, there's a reason for it. And it feels like the other important piece in there is the trusting your gut with the lightness,
mm-hmm.
you know, and where you really want to go with it.
Yeah.
Good.
It made winter go a lot longer than it needed to.
Yeah. I'm so glad you're bringing that up. That's such an important point for you and for everyone. And that's what I was talking about before. When we fight against the cycles, it's that much harder, you know, and then we're not in the flow. And as you say, winter can then end up lasting way longer than
mm-hmm.
it needs to, and in a not pleasant way.
Yeah.
Good.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Gail.
Hi.
Hi.
My relationship with my mom
to change from the child, the little girl who's cared for, to the person who is ready to take more control has been extremely difficult, but it's also becoming extremely necessary for me to do it. Like when you mentioned leaves falling from the tree, and the leaves that cling on kind of starting to lose the color and shrink. You, before that comes into full effect, like I have to step in more now. And what I really need to believe is that I'm prepared and I'm capable, that I'm able to do that in a way that will not be too traumatic for her, like I won't hurt her by doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I've never been a parent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've never been a parent, so I felt like, well, I don't have these skills, and then I realized I do have some of these skills. I've managed my own life. It's just a little different when you're doing it for someone else, especially when they are your mother.
Yeah, 100%. And I'm sharing this because I think this will be helpful for you and for everyone, and also something we need to think about with our clients too. Sometimes in order to let go, we need to be willing to grieve the expectation that never got met. And this can happen a lot in relationships and a lot with parents. In order to move into whatever the next aligned cycle we need to move on to with our parents, often we need to grieve the fantasy that we didn't get, that we maybe really deserved, you know, but that we still didn't get. Without the grieving, it's harder to let it go. Does that resonate for you?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, good. Thank you for bringing that forward. I hear from a few more of you. I can see this topic is really bringing up a lot of stuff. There's a lot of hands raised. I'm not sure who this is. Your name isn't coming up, but 0684 are your last numbers.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
This is Nicole.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi. A lot comes up. It resonates a lot. And to me, I think I got some keywords that are really important to me, which is honoring space and trust. And but I know myself as a person that I fight against the cycle, because most of the times I want to know first. I'm a knowing person. I want to know first before stepping in. I want to be sure, and sometimes I tend to overreact in wanting to know for sure. So I'm procrastinating and a lot of searching for information. But the key word for me is trust. So, but can I trust nature? Can I trust my nature?
Yeah.
I think that's an important question to me, because the tree knows it will be spring again. But do I trust that it will be spring again for me too?
Yeah.
And I think that requires a lot of inner work.
Yeah, it does. It does. And it's so worth it, right? Because the truth is there's never it's hard to let go unless there's trust, but it's actually also so hard to start anything unless there's trust too. Because we're still in the mystery when we start things.
Yeah. And I want to know, I love when there is clarity. But can I step in without the clarity? That is, I think, sometimes a question of my life.
What I find helpful is that we actually do this all the time without even realizing it, right? We wake up in the morning, we have no idea what the day is going to bring. if it's going to be the last day ever.
Yeah.
We're still, right? But, like, we still step in to the day, you know?
Yeah,
or
true.
For those of us that have had the experience of getting married, you know, we don't know. We really don't know. But we have to be willing to step in. And for those of us that have had the experience of giving birth to a child, you know, we don't know, right? But we have to be willing to trust.
Though
we don't know.
Beautiful.
Good. All right, I'll take one more for now. Kara.
Yeah, I just wanted to name this. It's more of a habit that I'm wanting to die, and that is like collecting wisdom versus putting it out there. I have like journals and folders, and I think the belief that's holding this habit is that it's so easier to collect and put things out there, but B, there's a sense of like, well, this is what I have to say, and if I run out of these things then and put them out there, then there's not going to be more.
Which is defeating the purpose.
And so the new belief is like similar to the winter. It's like these actually have to be released for the next spring to come, and probably for like the deeper spring.
Beautiful, really nice. Good. Okay, let's continue here. So, how do you know if a client is ready to step into a winter phase or ready to let something go? When you're working with your clients, how do you actually know to create awareness around this? Well, oftentimes, if a client has been overworking and doing, but not getting anywhere, and you've looked at, you know, self-sabotage or, you know, whatever it is, and it is still not changing, then it probably means that they need to move into a winter phase for a little bit. If you have a client that has been through an illness or a big life change and hasn't really taken the time and the space to be with it or grieve it or honor it, chances are they need to move into a winter phase. If you have a client that keeps on getting clarity on something, but then isn't taking action on it, and you've looked at a lot of the things we've already looked at, the fears or, you know, the negative thought patterns, but it's just like it's like they get the clarity, but they feel like they don't really know. So long as it's not fears around moving forward, it's probably because they need to be in a phase of not knowing for a while and let it incubate and be in the mystery. Those are just some ways to know. So what do you as the coach need to know and remember as you hold clients through a winter phase or through letting go? Well, there's a lot that you need to know and remember, but I want to just give you some of the pieces of wisdom that can be really helpful for you to remember and then to create awareness around for your clients. Number one, in order for rebirth to happen, death always needs to happen first. So spring, we can't go straight from summer to spring again. The season, like, life doesn't work that way. We can't go straight from morning and noon when there's so much light to just the next morning. We have to go through the winter. We have to go through the nighttime. We can't just go full moon to full moon to full moon, right? We need to have the dark moon too. Trees can't just keep on blossoming and keep on blossoming and keep on blossoming, right? So in order for rebirth to happen, death needs to happen first. Another thing that's important to remember, you guys have heard me share this before, this is one of my favorites. Trees grow the most in the winter, right? So when we look at a tree, we think, oh, well, the spring and the summer is when it's growing the most. It's the leaves are beautiful and there's fruits and there's flowers and all of that. But the truth is it's in the winter when the tree has shed and has been willing to move into scarcity that its roots grow the most and get fed the most so that it can birth the next spring. With all of the fruits on the tree, it doesn't have enough time and space and energy and wherewithal to feed the roots. It actually needs to be holding less in order to grow. Another thing that's important to remember that you might want to create awareness around, the greatest healing and visioning can happen in the mystery, in the dark. Another one that might be really helpful for clients is when things are so full, the universe doesn't see a place or a reason to give more, right? If you're clinging on to clients, even ones that are meant to be let go of, either because you're ready for a different type of client or, you know, whatever it is. But if when things are so full, there's no space for the universe to give more. I told you guys this was a spiritual teacher call, so there you go. Next thing that might be helpful for you and to create awareness for clients, the spring always comes. Right? And again, that's what the trees know. That's what the animals know. When they go in, they're willing to go into hibernation for the winter. The spring is going to come again, right? It might feel a little scary. It's hard to be in the mystery. It's hard to not, you know, like to break that cycle of doing, but the spring will come again. It always does. Better to have less, but to have it be aligned than have more and have it be misaligned. I can think of a dozen different times I've had to learn this in my own life, whether it was around work or friendships or objects, you know, things that I've owned or whatever it is. Better to have less but have it be aligned than more but have it be misaligned. The next two are really important ones that go back to the energetics. My client is strong enough to withstand loss. If we as coaches don't believe that our clients are able to withstand loss, we're going to have a really hard time holding space for them to move into it, right? So we want to really hold that belief that our clients are strong enough. And then also, I'm strong enough to hold space for loss and grief. Sometimes I'll work with a coach who just feels like they can't hold the space. You can. You can. Another one, this is obvious, but we forget it sometimes. Grief is normal and natural and necessary, and grieving doesn't mean that everything is going to fall apart or that we're going to be in it forever. Again, this is cultural. Like, we have these ideas of, you know, like almost like the hysterical woman that gets lost in grief, right? But that's not true. It's normal. It's natural. It's necessary, and it doesn't mean that everything has to fall apart. Two other pieces of wisdom that I think are helpful to remember, actually three. One is sometimes when it's ready for someone to let something go and they're clinging on and they're clinging on, sometimes for me as the coach, I like to bring in this idea of, like, it's not that you're giving it up or it's not that you're letting it go, but it's that you're giving it up to spirit, right? So especially for someone that believes in spirit or God or whatever it is, you know, terminology, right, back to language that we looked at a long time ago. Terminology and language are everything. Sometimes it's easier to think about it as giving it up to spirit as opposed to letting it go. And two other things here that are good to remember. For me, as a coach and as a human being, this one is so big, health and well-being above all else. Health and well-being above all else. I've had clients that I'm doing business coaching with, and things are going so well for them, and their egos are ready to grow even more. But if I see that they're teetering on the edge of health and well-being, or that they need to slow down a little bit, they're not, or that, like, yes, maybe they could get to that next bigger place, but it's not going to be good for their bodies or their nervous system yet in that moment, I am willing to stick my neck out and say, you know, can we look at this? Is this really the moment for this growth? Health and well-being above all else. And then the last piece of wisdom that is important for us to remember around this, and also we may want to create awareness for our clients, is that, and we've probably all had this experience, whenever there's something that we're not willing to let go of, that we're meant to let go of, if we don't do it intentionally, somehow the universe takes care of it for us, and it's usually pretty brutal and painful and way harsher than if we would have done the letting go ourselves. All right, so then from there, let's spend time on how do you help clients make hard decisions, or how do you help clients release what they're ready to release, or how do you help clients step into winter phases? So there's a lot here, but I'll just share some of the most important pieces. So first thing is just back to our filters and to check your filters. So if you are in a place where, you know, back to the example actually that I gave with business coaching, right? If your filter is you always need to grow in business, you always need more, you always need to get to the next level in business, and you always need to help your client, quote-unquote, get to that next level, you know, let's call it outer level or next income level or whatever it is, that's a filter, right? So check your filters around this. And the client always knows best. So if you've got a filter of next level of income, next level of visibility, you know, or whatever the field is that you're working in, but you're doing really good listening skills, right? That filter is checked and you're listening masterfully, you'll be able to hear that actually that's not what the client needs next. You'll be able to hear that what the client needs next is maybe a rest or a break or to plateau where they are for a little bit and let things integrate before they get to the next place. One thing that really can help clients let go of things more easily is to help the client honor whatever it is that they're releasing. So what I mean by this is usually when we let something go, we are like, oh, it's not working, I'm going to let it go. Or this just sucks, it's, you know, or angry about it, let it go. It's really hard to let something go if we haven't honored it first. So, for example, look at funeral rites, right? Of course, we never really let loved ones go, but you know, if they have passed, one of the things that we do at funerals is we eulogize, right? We honor the life. By honoring the life, it allows us to also accept the death. Any time I've been in a romantic relationship, and it's time for it to end, even if it's been, excuse my language, totally shitty or the person has been shitty, I need to be aware of all of that for sure. But part of the letting go process is like, you know, and it served me in this way, and it served me in this way, and it was the right time for it in this way, like honoring it. Similar to what Carolyn was sharing before about the writing and how she was approaching thought leadership, right? Like honor what it's in order to let it go, you want to honor it first. We want to help our clients do that. Because if we don't, then it seems like it was for nothing. You know, and nobody wants to let go of something. That's harvesting, really, is the honoring. Like, it's hard to let go of something if we don't see that it's had a purpose, right? Then it just feels like wasted time and energy. If we can see that it had a purpose and we can honor it, then we can also, okay, we've gotten what we needed from it, we can let it go. Holding space for grief. So this is a full training on its own, how to hold space for grief. I'm not going to get into, into how to do that on this call. But what I will just say to all of you for now is whether you realize it or not, you have an innate ability to hold space for grief for others, even if it scares you, even if you don't know how to do it for yourself, and practicing it for yourself will definitely help you with others, but I don't want you to be scared of it. If you see that a client needs to grieve, I really want you to lean in, do it imperfectly, hold space, take the time, maybe just start by asking the client, like, would you like for us to just devote some attention for you to just feel all the feels around this, right? Sometimes acknowledging can really help that. You know, this must be so hard for you. It must be so sad, you know, whatever it is. But I want you to lean into it. Acknowledging the pain can help hold space for the grief. Like I said, giving permission to grieve, right? Sometimes we do it in the session itself, but sometimes it's about bringing it up in the coaching session and then giving the client permission to take the time to grieve at their own leisure. And then helping them create space for it. What I mean by that is we actually need time and space to grieve. We can't just grieve in, like, the 2 minutes in between the rest of our busy lives, right? So there are times where, we'll move through grieving processes in the coaching itself, but also in between the sessions, you know, I'll help the client actually make space in their schedule to be able to feel and to grieve and not rush through it. Other ways to help clients make hard decisions or move into a winter phase or let go, to share your own triumph stories around release, around being in the winter, or around embracing the mystery, right? They need modeling from us because there's not a lot of modeling on this in culture, in our society. So if you remember back to creating awareness, one of the ways to create awareness is to share from our own lives. And this is, I find, an important, you know, I let clients know all the time about my grieving processes, or like I let you guys know about letting go of that program last year, right? We need models for this. And then along with that, another thing that's really important is to challenge cultural norms. Like Jamie brought up before, this fear of failure if we stop, right? Or of the meritocracy that is pervasive in this culture. You know, our clients, some of our clients just buy into all of this, like we all do, right? We're all guilty of this. More is better, you know, all of that. We need, as coaches, if we're really going to serve, to be able to challenge those cultural norms at the right moments. Along with that, supporting clients to define for themselves terms like abundance, success, happiness, well-being, right? So that they don't just go with those cultural norms, but the more that they can define it for themselves, then the easier it is then to make these decisions that we're talking about on the call today. And along with that, to help them clarify their priorities, their values, what they really want from life. We've looked at all of this, you know, in our envisioning. Here's another, this is a great tool. This is one of my favorite tools, this next one. So I have this little game that I play with myself when I go into the fear that everything is going to fall apart, because I will just share with you, I am a security monger. This whole topic of today's call is one that I keep on having, you know, I really work it with myself. And I, you know, I think it's a little bit because of the Holocaust lineage in my own personal history. I always have this fear that if things slow down, or if I allow things to slow down a little bit, that everything is going to fall apart, right? Or if I let something go, you just, everything is going to fall apart. Or just like, what if I wake up tomorrow and my business isn't there anymore? Like everyone has decided they hated me, I have no more class, right? Whatever it is. So a little game that I play with myself that is so vastly helpful, and this is, I've done this a lot with clients and it's so helpful for them, is to acknowledge what are the resources that you have that nobody can take away from you? Or what are the resources that you're always going to have even if you go into a winter phase? Even if you take a full long rest, how will you be able to rebuild, right? And so like for me, you know, I come back, like the answers are, what are the things that nobody can take away from me? What are the things that I'm not going to lose even through a winter phase? What are the things that I can't lose even if I let go of this, 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 and this? You know, I have all of the wisdom that I have accrued over the years, right? That is mine. Nobody can take that from me, and that's a major factor in, you know, rebuilding or, you know, bringing the spring back again. My sense of humor, nobody can take that away from me. My intuitiveness and how I see into the layers of things, right? So helping clients, really asking the question, like, what do you have? What are the resources you have that nobody can take away from you? Will really help them see that even if they let go, even if they step into that winter phase, it's not that all is lost. It's like those are the roots of the tree, right? That the tree is always going to have, even if they let the leaves go, even if they rest. All right, we have a few minutes left. I think I'm going to leave this at this. I'd love to hear what questions you have. And what takeaways you've got. So takeaways and questions, star two. Kalea.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, it's great to hear your voice.
Hi, yes, I have one. I don't know if you knew I lost my voice for a week, so I couldn't. I have a question. I hope it's okay to ask. I'll be succinct. I have been loving coaching this way. And, you know, it's just been so fun. And I'm seeing my clients just thrive. I have one client who is really, really, really like having a hard time. And I realized while you were just talking, and I don't know if this is going to be answered today or if it's another question for another time, but while you were talking, I started to get the awareness that what has changed is that instead of doing it for her, I'm asking her questions. that help her understand herself. And one of the, this kind of started about a month and a half ago, where she's like, you're really freaking pissing me off. Like, that was in an email. Now, that doesn't rattle me. I mean, I've been doing this for 20 years. That doesn't bother. I'm fine with that. That's fine. And I responded, and she was like, I'm so sorry. I'm being such a, you know, pain in the butt, whatever. I'm like, you're not. It's just, this is part of the process. Now she's back again in crisis again. And when I responded to her really thoughtfully, I took time to, you know, she's like, I'm more confused than ever. You know, I don't understand what you're asking me to do, but I tried to get on the phone with her. She's got a busy schedule, so do I. We haven't been able to find that time because she's really, really busy also. Blah, blah, blah. But is this just part of, like, the shift of, like, instead of, I mean, you know me, you've known, you know my coaching, like, of moving out of I'm doing it, I'm helping you do it for you, and into this let's, like, it's just a whole different way. I don't know. What do you think?
Can you clarify the question for me a little bit more? I feel like there's like 10 different things I want to respond to, but
yeah, no,
I want to
totally
make sure
I
answer what you're wanting.
I'm sure there's like, there's a lot to say. No, I think the question is, does it make sense to you? I think from just like from my own point of view of that, you know, I'm on the right track here. You know, this is a shift in coaching. And like I said, everybody else is just it's so fun and they're growing. I mean, it's just been really fascinating to watch the shift. So the point is that when you're changing this on a client who's really struggling in other ways, because she really is, she's got a lot on her plate, not just business. I mean, like really a lot. And I've been her.
I think I get what you're saying. So there's two pieces. I think one is, some clients need a little bit more consulting. You know, and so she may, like, she just, I think it's really good that you're asking her the questions and creating awareness in different ways than just telling her or consulting with her, but she may, you know, you may need to, like, ease her into it a little bit more, and she just may need a little more consulting. So I think that's one piece of it, but just my hunch, I think the reason why you're bringing it up on this call is because it sounds to me like this is a client who's busy, 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 always doing, 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 and things are good, but lately she's been in crisis a lot. And when someone is busy, 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 doing, 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 and then they have a crisis and you solve the crisis and then they're okay for a second, but then they go into the next crisis and then you solve it and then they're okay for a second, they go to the next. To me, that is a possible indicator that they need a winter phase for a little bit.
That's what I tried to suggest, and she just about lost her damn mind.
So did you hear some pieces on the call today that might help create some awareness or help her feel safer with it or help her see that it's not the end of the world? And also that, you know, sometimes like winter is stopping things altogether, but other times winter is just creating more space for a period of time. But it feels to me like you keep on putting Band-Aids on a problem that needs a deeper solution. And part of the deeper solution is for her to slow down and have more space. Again, I'm just kind of guessing in between the lines.
No, I think you're accurate completely, 100%. And I think she does want that and is terrified of what it will mean.
Yeah. So work on the rewiring. I would go back to rewiring negative thoughts around the fear, you know, and befriend the fears there.
Yeah, I've been working on that part with her,
and,
but I think it needs to go deeper.
And take it step by step with her there so that she can really Yeah, and then, you know, working a little, also maybe just, like, with the shadow of her overdoer, too, and what, you know, what's going on there.
Yeah. Okay. I got it. Okay, Mama, thank you.
You're very
welcome.
All right, we're at 2:30. So thank you, everyone. I hope you really take today's call with you and take it to heart. And, any other questions that come up or takeaways that come up, let me know in the Facebook group. And I recommend coming back to those the wisdom, those pieces, those truths that I shared, the second to last part, and journaling on some of them that feel especially important or resonant for you personally, just free writing on some of them, and also continuing to come back to the journaling questions. Wishing you all a wonderful rest of your day. I'll talk to you soon.